in 5, 4, 3.
You didn't say 2 or 1.
You don't have to say 2 or 1.
Why not?
You just don't.
This is a Fitting Room podcast with your hosts, Nate Adelman and AJ Volpel.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is AJ Volpel from the Fitting Room podcast, and you are listening to part 3 of our 4-part Tour Pro Player series that we recorded back at TPC Sawgrass at the Players Championship. This is with none other than the Ryder Cup captain, Jim Furyk. Nate and Jim took a deep dive and talked about all sorts of things, including how fitting will play a big part in his role as the Ryder Cup captain. So really cool stuff. And if you missed part 1 with Adam Hadwin, make sure you listen to that. And then the other parts with Daniel Berger and Patrick Reed, also live. So give them all a listen. It's all binge-worthy, so check it out. And then the next voices you hear will be Ryder Cup captain Jim Furyk and Nate Adelman.
Hey everyone, this is Nate from The Fitting Room. I wanted to let you guys know that I was able to trick our e-commerce team into creating a promo code for The Fitting Room podcast. If you use promo code FITTINGROOM on CallawayGolf.com, you'll get free shipping on your entire order and 20% off anything in the Team Callaway collection. So head over to CallawayGolf.com and use promo code FITTINGROOM. All right, Jim, thanks so much for joining us on The Fitting Room. Big week this week here at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah, we're here at the Players. You know, the unofficial, official, whatever it is, the fifth major championship. But it's my home event. I live here in Ponte Vedra, so historically I've put a lot of pressure on myself to play well here. I got a lot of family and friends out in the crowd, and turns out to be a pretty fun week.
Well, as you prepare for the week, hoping to spend a couple of minutes just to dive into the clubs in your bag a little bit. Walk me through the process that you go through when, you know, Callaway releases a new club. What is the process you go through to get that club into the bag to prove that it deserves a place there?
Well, first and foremost, I think early in my career, folks would always say, hey, if I can make you a club just as good as what you're playing, will you put it in the bag? And my idea is there's no such thing. It's not just as good. It's either I like it better and for a reason, or I don't like it as well. I think if there's some new product out there that I don't have in the bag, I have to provide a very good reason why, if that makes sense, to try to help Callaway to make better equipment. But sometimes it can be as something easy as what it looks like in your eye or how it can be. But first and foremost, just right out of the box, I think I put the clubs down and see what I think they look like.
Okay.
You know, if they don't look appealing or you don't like the way the club looks, it's going to be very difficult to hit good shots with it.
Right.
But, you know, first and foremost, you want it to look good. Two, I think, you know, you're looking at totally different things from a sand wedge perspective, from an iron perspective, from a driver perspective.
So let's look at an example for Epic in your bag now. How did that process go? We introduced you to the club a little early. I think it was this past November.
Yeah.
Putting it down, I guess it obviously looked appealing enough.
It looked good, and I had tried it over probably back in September, back during the playoffs at our very first playoff event. I had hit a few kind of off-site, really liked what I saw in ball flight, a little higher launch. Felt like the ball was up in the air higher, stayed in the air longer. It wasn't up shooting, wasn't spinning a lot, but it was controllable. I could draw the ball, cut the ball. I really felt like I had a better ball flight, so I was dying for this club to come out and give it a try. I think it's been wonderful. So really for me, I think it's good to have a TrackMan, a launch monitor, something there for backup.
Right.
But as a player, I think sometimes we depend on that too much. Mm. And guys aren't looking down the range and watching a ball flight. They're looking directly at the monitor. You know, is that the right launch? Is that the right spin? Am I maximizing my distance? Am I? And I think as a player, we watch golf shots all the time. We know where that window is. We know where we want the ball to be. And I like to not sit out there and hit that driver 50 times in a row. We're good enough on the tour, and a good amateur player is good enough to kind of, you know, if I'm hitting it a little lower, not spinning enough, I'll kind of stay back on my right side and get. I can make the numbers show up the way I want to, but I want that to happen when I'm making my
normal
golf swing. So I'll go back and forth. I'll hit a couple drivers, two or three drivers hit a 7-iron, two or three drivers hit a 7-iron. That kind of keeps me calibrated in the right swing.
Now, when you are looking at TrackMan, you know, as you said, as a secondary tool, what are the numbers you're honing in on? Is it ball speed, spin, launch, all the above?
Well, I think I'm looking – ball speed's interesting. You want to see – you don't want the ball coming out 2 or 3 miles an hour slower.
No, definitely not.
So I didn't maybe gain as much as most players or a lot of players on our staff, but I gained a couple miles an hour on my ball speed, which is a good thing. I'm looking at launch angle. I'm looking at spin rate. And I'm also looking what I've learned a lot, and Dean Tickle's helped me a lot with it from Callaway. I'm looking at my angle of attack. I know that on my very best swings, I'm usually in about a degree and a half down on the ball, which is maybe a little peculiar to some with a driver.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I'm making my best swing. That's my swing I take to the golf course.
Mm.
Now, I can hang back and hit up on the ball and maybe get a little extra distance on the driving range, but I can't take that swing to the golf course.
Right.
So when I get a driver that doesn't have enough loft, I start to swing up on it a little bit on the range, and that shows up on TrackMan and lets me know, hey, I've jockeyed my swing a little bit to fit this club.
Right.
So I'm looking to make sure that when, Dean's worked with me for a long enough time, this is my swing path. I'm hitting a degree and a half down on the ball pretty consistently.
What loft is your driver set to?
Right now I have an 8.5 degree Epic, but I've added loft to it.
Got
so
it.
I'm in the plus one position. I'm in
okay.
D plus one.
Okay.
So I'm in, you see how close I stand to the
right.
ball. I'm 6'2".
Right.
I like upright clubs.
Yep.
In the 8.5 position, if you gave me a 10 degree driver and we closed at one, it would look shut. To me.
Yep.
But taking an 8.5 degree driver that already looks like it sits open and getting in that plus one, it looks pretty square to
right.
me. So it looks good. And I've got it now at the right loft, and I'm launching the ball. I usually launch the ball at about 10 degrees, and I spin it a little more than 2,500. I'm in the 2,700.
That's a pretty darn good window right there.
That's where I'm comfortable.
Right. Now, week to week out on tour, are you one to mess with your setup depending on the turf or the wind or the course, or do you like to keep your setup and adjust your game to the course you're playing?
I like to keep my setup very similar. Now, obviously if you're over at the British Open and the wind's blowing 25 miles an hour, naturally I'm choking up on the club a little bit. The ball's moved slightly back in my stance. Things will change because I'm hitting the same shots over and over again to flight the ball. But I really try to pretty much stay in a standard setup position and adjust my game to the golf course.
Right. Now, how big
sometimes equipment as well.
Right. Now, how big of a deal is it for you to add a new club? Like some guys we know, like new club comes out, they want to try it immediately, and if it's good, they're going to game it immediately. Other guys, it might take 3 or 4 months of testing before something goes in the bag. For you, where do you lie on that spectrum?
Depends on the club.
Yeah.
Putter, I'll try a new one now if you give it to me.
Right.
Drivers, it's a little harder. It's a club that takes a while to gain trust in. There's a lot going on in a driver with bulge and roll and loft
right.
and spin rates and launch angles. And because it's the longest club in your bag, it has the least amount of loft, the most can go wrong.
Right.
And so that one club is difficult to change in my bag.
Right.
And it takes a couple, 2-3 weeks of testing for me
right.
to get real comfortable and want to be excited about putting it in play.
Yep.
Especially if I already love the driver in my bag.
Right.
To get this one out, it's going to take some weeks of testing.
Well, challenge accepted. We're going to try to come up with something that'll beat that one. Let's talk a little about the putter. You mentioned you like to switch putters regularly. What is it that how do you choose which one to go in the bag, whether it's shape, length, feel?
I've putted with face balanced. I've putted with that plumber's hosel. I've putted with face balance toe hang. I've had something that looks almost like an 8802 before in the bag, so I've kind of had all different styles, shapes, sizes. I seem to be most comfortable with either a face balance putter or just a little bit of toe hang.
Mm-hmm.
But I will alternate back and forth from a mallet style head to maybe more of a what would we call it? A one. Like I have a one wide.
Right. So that's like a mid hang. It's like a blade
right.
putter. But
my two favorite putters from Odyssey, Callaway Odyssey, are the number one wide
yep.
and the seven.
I mean, those are two winners.
So,
for sure.
And I've played with those a lot of my career.
Right.
Now, maybe a little different style hosling. I've had
right.
a two ball in the bag a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I may go from a plumber's hosel to the little spud
the
net
flow,
to
yeah.
a double bend,
right.
and get a little different style of hang. But those seem to be the putters that I set up the best. And the reason I usually switch putters really is I'm not blaming the arrow. I realize it's the Indian's fault, but it's more of a setup. If I feel like if I'm aiming where I want to hit the putt, I have an opportunity to make a bunch of putts, and I have some bad habits in aiming right at times. And so grabbing a new putter sometimes just gets me focused on where I'm aiming and gets me aimed better.
So when you feel like your alignment or your aiming's a little off, that's when you know it's time to try a new head shape or new alignment or
Usually if I've just been putting bad for a little while.
Just mix it up. Get a fresh look at it.
Exactly.
And do you think, for a player like you who's played for quite some number of years that has had a rotation of putters.
Did you just call me old there?
No,
making sure.
A veteran. Yeah.
A veteran.
Wise veteran. Do you think it's a smart idea for an average player to have a quiver of putters that they alternate through as well, or you think it's a little different for the amateurs out there?
I think it depends on the person. You look at someone like a Ben Crenshaw that was a great putter. You get your old trusty, you know the feel. You feel like your speed control is good, whether the greens are fast or slow. If you've got that old trusty and you really rely on it, then I think, I probably wouldn't switch. But for amateurs that maybe change golf courses, change speed of greens, change styles of grasses from Bermuda to bent, if you like to travel and change things up, it might be nice to have a putter in the bag that maybe I like to use when I go to Augusta or go to really fast greens. I like my putter to be a little heavier. I can move it slower and steadier, and that weight helps me with my with my pace. When I go to maybe slower greens, I'm putting with a putter that's a little lighter, might have a touch more loft to get the ball up on top of the grass. So I think it's nice. I mean, I don't think you have to have, don't tell your wife. It's not like you don't have to have 50 putters. Don't tell her that, but it's good to have a handful of putters, I think, to rotate through for different styles.
Nice. So AJ and I always like to dig into the specs deep and find something that's quirky or unique about every player's setup. And one of the things we noticed with your setup is your wood shafts are on the heavier end in 75, 85, and then hybrids at 105 and X-Flex, so pretty firm. But we have your iron shafts at 110 grams, so on the lighter end, and a little bit softer, but it looks like you hard step them. Can you talk a little bit about how you determine what weights to go with on the woods versus the irons?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I've used both driver shafts. Right now I'm in the 70s, but anywhere in the mid-60s and mid-70s, I'm comfortable with the driver. I think it's light enough that I have some speed, but not so light that I feel like I don't have control, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can still feel the club in my hand, the head weight in my hand. I'm comfortable under pressure pulling the trigger at those two weights. Which makes it real easy. I think I could probably get in the 70s with a 3-wood, but anything in the mid-80s seems to work really well. And then the hybrid kind of bridges the gap. That 95 to 105 bridges the gap between – I've been playing 110-gram iron shaft since the late 90s.
Oh, wow.
A couple different shafts, but using a Dynamic Gold, it's a wonderful shaft, but up at 125, 130 grams.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's laboring, especially in the long iron. So this shaft gives me, again, enough weight that I trust it under pressure, but I just feel like it's a much easier shaft.
It's a little less resistant.
So they're a KBSR right now. They're hard-stepped, which means, as you know, I'm putting the 9 iron in the 8, the 8 and the 7, the 7 and the 6. What that does is it makes the tip section of the shaft stiffer.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, I used an Apollo hump shaft that had a big bell, a big hump in the bottom of the shaft. Again, tip stiff.
Yep.
And so what I like to see, I think the reason why my wood shafts are X's is I probably don't tip them down quite as much. So that gives me the firmer feel. I can play a little softer shaft in my irons. It's softer under my hands. I think that gives me a little bit of height in the ball, maybe a little bit of spin. Since I don't hit the ball that far, I want to try to hit the ball a little higher.
Right.
But it still gives me the stiff feel, because what I really feel more about a shaft is how stiff it is in the tip.
Right.
And so, the old idea that you play like a rifle shaft and there's a number that associates with your swing, and you can play like a high flex, mid flex, or low flex, and all in that same number, just never really
Right.
fit my feel. I would have been, you know, maybe a low flex and a 7, I would have been a, you know, a mid flex and a 6, and I would have been a high flex and a 5. And, and that's kind of what feels good to me.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's right for everyone.
Right. Well, I like that. I like, obviously, a lot of thought has gone in and a lot of trial and error and finding what works for you and sticking with that, I think.
So I've got one thing really quirky about my irons that I'm I haven't looked at your notes. But my lies are interesting.
Okay.
If you looked at my lofts and lies of my irons, I don't follow the standard chart. So, if you went online and looked at Callaway's, you know, for my irons, if you went and looked, my wedge would probably be a half a degree upright.
But okay.
My four iron might be 2.5 degrees upright.
Okay. So how do you determine
my gaps
that?
Are real narrow.
How do you decide how much to bend the four iron versus the seven iron versus
it's
the
really
wedge?
For me how the club goes through the ground and watching the ball flight.
So you'll do it one club at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And okay. I've set it up though as I've done it now for since I've been on tour really since the mid 90s. I've kind of set my setup that way. I'm in about my pitching wedge is probably in the 64.5 range, and lie, but my four iron. You know, shocks people. It's in the 62 range.
Wow.
60, you know. And,
wow.
And so
when you order,
I really
your
only
next
have about 2.5 degrees in between four iron and pitching wedge.
When you order your next set, will you tell them what to build originally, or when you get the clubs, you'll hit them all and then bend each one at a time?
Oh no, they know.
They know.
They come that way. They come that way. Set to my specs.
That's great.
So
that's,
if there needs to be a tweak, you know, sometimes a different iron head may make the shaft react a little differently.
Yep.
You might get a little more droop. Usually if you're going from a muscle back iron or a cavity back or maybe a game improvement, there might be a big difference from the muscle back to the game improvement. You might have to play one set a little more upright than the other, but these guys on tour are good enough. They know my specs. I'm capable of bending if I need to. I've got a loft and lie at home, but they usually come straight from the trailer, pretty darn good.
We won't tell AJ about this because he'll probably go tomorrow and go bend his irons all to within a few degrees on the lie angle. So we'll keep that a secret between us.
If you look at my divots, I like, since you want to be technical, I like my divots to be slightly toe heavy.
Okay.
You know, everyone wants that divot that looks kind of like a dollar bill, right? And heel and the toe enter at the same time, exit at the same time. For me, for one reason or another, I like when the toe gets in there slightly before the heel and exits slightly after the heel. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of a
skinnier divot.
Skinnier in the it's a little shorter in the heel and a little longer in the toe. Not much. Just a touch.
Right.
And that's where I'm most comfortable. And
perfect.
And really the reason is I hate hitting the ball left with a passion. Ruins my day.
Yeah, no, not good. So we'll close out this episode here with some questions, not necessarily about your game, but about a big challenge you have coming up as Ryder Cup captain. And one of the big things that I always think about here on the fitting room is, especially with alternate shot, guys have to be sharing equipment, which week to week they don't have to share equipment, in particular the golf ball.
Right.
So how much is the golf ball going to determine your strategy in pairing players together or any other part of the equipment trying to get guys to play together?
Yeah, it's definitely going to play a part. It's become easier over the last 10 years because now we can play – you can play a different ball every hole if you want.
Right.
So the idea is if we're partners, I'm going to drive your ball off the tee so that you can hit the iron shot with the ball you're comfortable and vice versa. But I have to be very comfortable. As you know, fitting drivers is very dependent on the golf ball. You never want to go get fit for a driver and not use the ball that you usually play.
Right.
And so it'll be real dependent. I think that you want to make sure that I've certainly been in Ryder Cup situations where I was playing with a guy that played a very low spin golf ball, and I felt like I was having a hard time keeping the driver up in the air, that it wanted to dive on me. And it's a bad feeling.
Right.
You know, kind of have to try to lift the ball and keep it in the air.
Right.
So I want guys to be comfortable. I want them to, you know, I want to give them a heads up weeks in advance. In some cases, maybe, you know, a month or two in advance that this may be, you know, possible pairings for you. Can you guys trade some golf balls? Can you, you know, and if there's a red flag and a guy says, you know what, I really struggle with that golf ball, that's a problem. That's, you know, it'll be a, a good reason to maybe split that group up and find better pairings.
That's fascinating. Well, we're happy to give you as many golf balls as you need for all the guys that week. So just let us know. We'll take care of it.
But
we really thank you for taking the time to talk to us on the Fitting Room. We're going to be rooting for you. We root for you every week, but especially this week as well. Hopefully you can bring the hometown trophy home.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.